As you are already, you're probably well aware, today is a little bit of a special day. And following our dismissal prayer, we're requesting that you stay in here for a few minutes. We do have some presentations to make to our graduating high school seniors. And because of that, I told William the other night that I would try to cut my lesson a little short this morning. And he said, well, if it happens, it happens. And, you know, I kind of think that he didn't believe I could do it. But at any rate, well, if it happens, it happens. I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 1. And as you are turning there, I want to tell you a little bit of an interesting story about some pelicans in California from several years ago. Apparently, there was a group of pelicans that stayed around a boat dock where a lot of fishermen would come in who were fishermen not just for pleasure, but business fishermen, and they were catching large amounts of fish. And as they would come in, these pelicans that were out there, they would often throw some fish to the pelicans. Well, the pelicans got used to this regular, almost 7-day-a-week feeding by these fishermen. Consequently, there were 3-4 generations of pelicans that ate fish through the generosity of all these different fishermen who came in. Well, eventually, that harbor became not the place where the fishermen came to dock. And the pelicans were no longer receiving, you know, free fish on a regular basis. And because several generations of pelicans had done that instead of going out to find their own, they didn't know how to find their own fish. And so these poor pelicans were here, about on the verge of starving to death. Well, the folks who really take an interest in these kind of things decided the thing to do was to import some pelicans from further up the coast who were unspoiled and weren't used to being fed, you know, by fishermen every day, and bring them down there so they could train these dumb pelicans how to find their food. And that's exactly what they did. They brought in a whole batch. What do you call a group of pelicans? I don't know. They brought in a whole batch of pelicans, you know, to teach these other pelicans how to do what they were supposed to do to start with. And they learned how to catch fish, and eventually they survived, and the generations after them knew what they were supposed to do in order to live. You know, if we're not careful, we can become like those pelicans. We can just be so used to everybody giving us scriptural knowledge, everybody giving us the teachings that we need, that we stop doing the work ourselves. And that we stop digging into the Word. We stop studying for ourselves. And pretty soon, before we realize it, we don't know how to feed ourselves spiritually anymore. That's a danger that all of us need to avoid. And in our text, in 2 Peter chapter 1, it teaches us about the necessity of not becoming so complacent in regard to our spiritual health and our spiritual growth that we fail to stop feeding ourselves. And that we fail to stop studying ourselves. Now, as we think about this lesson today, and we're thinking about the occasion that we're observing following our dismissal this morning of commending and congratulating our high school graduates, there is something here to say, particularly to you five who are in that very special class of people who are graduating, who attend here at Maston Lake Road. But there's something to say to all of us. And really, if you notice on the front of the bulletin, we're talking about getting bigger and better and brighter so that we don't become so complacent, so uncaring, so unaware of the great spiritual feast that is before us that we forget how to feed ourselves. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control,
to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. You notice verse 5 started giving all diligence. Verse 10, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice about three times in the text, the phrase is used, these things. There are certain things that we need to do, and these things that we need to do are what are contained in verses 5, 6, and 7. And you notice them there, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. These things are some of the things that we need to be incorporating into our spiritual hearts, lives, and souls that we might be the kind of person that God wants us to be. Now, as we think about this and we develop this this morning for a few minutes, there are three ways that I want us to see this. Number one, there is an expectation. There is an expectation. Number two, there is an exhilaration. And number three, there is an expiration. And as we take those three words, we're going to use those to develop our lesson this morning about becoming bigger, better, and brighter. Number one, there is an expectation. And that's really what verses 5 through 7 are all about. The expectation for this very reason. And when you go back to the first four verses of the letter from Peter, you'll see that he talks about our faith and the source of our faith and the reason that we need to be vested in our faith. And so he says, for this reason, because we have this, because God has given this to us, for this very reason, there's an expectation. There's something that is expected of us as children of God. There is something that is expected of us as people of faith. There is something that is expected of us as New Testament Christians. And as we think about particularly our occasion this morning, there are expectations for people who graduate from high school and college and what the case may be. There are expectations when you marry someone. There are expectations when you get a job. There are expectations when you move forward in your life and make that progress that comes to us as we develop and mature as people in the world, and more importantly, people of God. And here, as people of God, here are the expectations. With all diligence, we add some things. And those, the foundation we add to our faith, that's where we start. That's what verses 1 through 4 are a little bit about, the source of our faith. But we begin adding. And it's not the case that the Christian life is a stagnant or a static situation. There's a constant adding and perpetuating and growing. And so the expectation here, we add to our faith virtue. And the word virtue is sometimes used in the Scriptures to mean strength or power. We add that strength. We add knowledge. Obviously, we think about spiritual knowledge. Self-control, that we discipline ourselves. We look at ourselves in such a way that we have that self-control. To that self-control, perseverance, that we endure. And to that godliness, we become like God. And then after we become like God, brotherly kindness. We look at God above, and then we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ to the left and to the right. And that we are loving and kind to them, and then finally love. That great kind of crescendo of the whole thing is, as you think about this as the pyramid, maybe building up with the foundation of being faith, and You're stacking and stacking on that and adding to that. And the combination, the crescendo of it, the apex of the expectation is love. Now, it is not ever easy to grow. Growth is never the easiest thing to do, and growth is never really immediate. But it is expected. And so to our graduating high school seniors, growth is expected. But to the rest of us, growth is expected. And you may be a senior here the way it's defined by the Social Security system. But growth is expected. Number two, there is an exhilaration. There is something exhilarating, fulfilling about living this kind of life. Look at verse 8. For if these things, there they are, there's that word, these things, if these things are yours and abound, it's not just that we try to scrape by with the bare minimum. But we're trying to get as much of this, we're trying to get as much self-control and knowledge and virtue and perseverance and brotherly kindness and godliness and love as we can. We're trying to gather it up. So if these things are yours, this must be your faith. Not your parents' faith. Not your preacher's faith. Not your grandparents' faith. Not your best friend's faith. This is yours. This is your faith. If these things be yours and bound, So they must be bubbling over within us. These are mine and they abound. Then what? There's an exhilaration. There's a fulfillment here. I will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's just something. It's not an arrogance. This second point is not arrogance. The second point is exhilaration. There ought to be a genuine joy, a genuine exhilaration, a genuine fulfillment about being a child of God. Because I'm doing the things that God wants me to do. And you know, when I live the way God wants me to live, when I know the difference between right and wrong, and I choose to do right, and I live the way God wants me to live, and I'm a person of faith, virtue, knowledge, perseverance, godliness, and brotherly kindness and love, when I'm that kind of person, then I am living a fulfilled life. I'm still growing. I'm still maturing. I'm still progressing. But I am working toward the goal where God wants me to arrive. And there ought to be something genuinely joyful in the heart of every child of God about that. There's just an exhilaration about being a child of God. There is something that ought to make us feel awfully wonderful to know that the blood of Jesus paid the price for my sins. And that when I obeyed the gospel and I was immersed in His name, my sins were washed away and I rose from the waters of baptism, clean and pure, to pursue this kind of life that God expects of me. And so there is an expectation, yes. But when we live our lives, how does it say here? Abounding in these things. If I own this, these are yours, and they abound. There's a genuine joy when I meet those expectations of exhilaration. But I want you to notice that the flip side here, that's point number three, there is an expiration. In other words, if I don't do what God wants me to do, the opposite of exhilarating, the opposite of exhilaration is expiration. I expire. Verse 9, he who lacks these things. Verse 8 says, they're yours and they abound. Verse 9 says, but there are some people who lack them. They're not yours. They're not abounding. You don't own them. In other words, your faith, your diligence, your virtue, your knowledge, your self-control, your perseverance, your godliness, your brotherly kindness, and your love, it's not there. you're not meeting the expectations. Not only are you not abounding, you're not even meeting the minimum. You lack it. You lack these things, you're short-sighted, even unto blindness. This takes us from the peak of exhilaration when we meet the expectation to the pit of darkness and blindness. Because I'm not meeting the expectations and I'm not doing the things that God would have me to do. And so now I'm short-sighted, I'm blind, I have forgotten that I was cleansed from my sin. I'm not getting bigger and better and brighter. No, I'm getting smaller and worse and darker. Look at the expectations again. Grope your way out of the darkness and find the light and begin adding to your faith all of these things. And let them be yours and let them abound. You see, don't expire. Meet the expectations and have that exhilaration of being a child of God. And then notice how He ends this message to us in verses 10 and 11. Therefore, you know, it's pretty clear here about the options. You know, here's the expectation. Here's what it is. It's clear. It's laid out. Here's what you need to do. Here's what God wants you to be. Here's what God wants you to become. Bigger, better, brighter. And if you do that, here's the direction your life will take. You don't do that, here's the direction your life will take. This is pretty clear. This is not hard. This is not complicated. So therefore, based on all of that information, therefore, what should you do? Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. There's that exhilaration again. An entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at that conclusion, you see that we have laid upon us an obligation to meet the expectations. So therefore, make your call and election sure. Make your Christianity, make your relationship with God sure. Don't stumble. Don't fall around in the dark. Don't expire. But live up to the expectation. So an entrance. Abundantly supplied to you into the kingdom. The song we sang just a few moments ago said, trust and obey. You see, that's really what it's talking about here. We hear God. We believe God, we trust God, and we obey Him. We become a Christian by putting our sins away, acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God and Savior of our soul, and we'll have those sins washed away when we are baptized in His name. And we begin walking that Christian walk of faith, bigger, better, brighter. You see, that's what God wants for you. Something bigger. Something better. Something brighter. If your life is dark right now, it doesn't have to stay that way. If your time is not spent as it should be, and you're not meeting the expectations that God has for you, all of that can change. And an entrance will be supplied abundantly to you. when you believe and obey. We encourage you. Would you come this morning and be bigger, better, and brighter? Come as we stand and we sing.